Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, a note, the sermon title today is not something I came up with. It was the title of a column by Ross Dutat in the New York Times last week. But to give you some context for it, I suspect many of you may remember there was a movie called The Greatest Story Ever Told. Okay, I'm seeing some heads nodding, that's good. And I was 1 year old when that came out. And back in 1965, the image of Jesus was that of this tall, handsome German man. That's not what Jesus looked like. I'm fairly confident in saying that. But it's the greatest story ever told, right? Well, think about this. Back in the 1950s and 60s, Bible movies were all the rage. And we remember the Ten Commandments, which was actually a remake. But Cecil B. DeMille's blockbuster showed on ABC every year when I was a kid. And that was the only time we could see it. It was before we had VCRs and DVDs and streaming services. And there were other movies that came out, like Demetrius and the Gladiators and The Robe. And then later, more controversial films came out. And in recent years, we've had The Temptation of Christ. And we had the Mel Gibson flick a few years ago, which frankly had a lot of weird things in it. But that leads me to the point of why the weirdest story ever told might not be such a bad description for what we're going to discuss today. Because frankly, this is a weird story. Now imagine that you have no knowledge of the Bible. None. That's the case for most of our society today. Scriptural literacy is at an all-time low. And you may not be a Bible scholar, but I suspect everybody here knows the basic outlines of the biblical story. But that's not the case for everyone out in the street. So imagine you're coming to the story fresh, with new eyes, with no preconceptions. You haven't spent your time in school talking about it or having someone try to debunk it or offer you scientific explanations. You're just presented with the text. And there's a lot of weird stuff in the Bible. Today's story, for example. There's an angel who descends from heaven, like lightning. Now, the guards had a not unreasonable response. I don't think it was strange for the guards to faint. And then the angel says something that heavenly messengers say throughout Scripture, and Jesus repeats later on in the lesson today. Do not be afraid. If you were presented with a divine appearance, what would your response be? Think about that. You know, think about the Bible and thunderclouds and lightning and earthquakes. The intrusion of the divine presence into our lives is something that should knock us back. But here the angels tell us to not be afraid. In some ways, it's a first century equivalent of saying, chill out. Don't have a cow. It's going to be okay. Because God is looking to make contact with us, not because God wants to slap us upside the head, not because God is looking to whack us, but because God loves us. And I can say that over and over and over again. And some of you will say, right on, you got it. And others of you will say, prove it to me. I can't prove it to you. I just know it. I know it like the sun's going to rise in the morning and set in the evening. I know it's like the sky is blue. And I know there's a good scientific explanation for that. But frankly, I'm not really good at that kind of thing. But there's some facts that we need to grapple with here. So going back to the first century, women were treated like dirt. That's the bottom line. They didn't have any legal standing. They weren't players in society. They were a whole bunch of nobodies. And yet, for some reason, when God wanted to share the news of his resurrection, who did he go to? Who did he ask to be his spokespeople? Those women who had showed up at the tomb. They were the ones who wanted to be close to Jesus. They were the ones who were going to take care of his physical remains. That is how God operates. God is looking to take care of and be with the people who are often on the outsides, in the margins, the people who are sometimes described as losers by our society, the people we may often feel like. Now, that should sound kind of revolutionary. Not in the sense of some Marxist running around and staging a protest somewhere, or some nationalist staging a protest on their side of town, but this is truly revolutionary stuff. Think about it. This message that was shared with us 2,000 years ago still resonates with people. And if you have felt left out or marginalized or like the universe doesn't care about you, I have one message to share with you. And John shared it too in his gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That wasn't a theory. It wasn't a hope. It was a statement of fact. God so loved the world that God came here to be with us, to teach us, to preach to us, to heal us. That is how much God loved the world. God so loved the world that God overcame death. God so loved the world that he was like a wave at the ocean, breaking on the shore and bathing everything in his embrace and his love and his grace. It's true. So yes, God came to us in a weird way. If God were to come to us today, what would God do? You might imagine that God would show up with a big advance team, helicopters and limousines and a motorcade. But God doesn't operate like politicians. No offense intended. Not all politicians are bad. But our society has these notions of what power is and how power should behave. And Jesus did not follow those guidelines. Jesus did not have an advance team. And frankly, you might wonder, oh, if Jesus came today, it would all be televised and we'd be able to live stream it. And I bet for every person here who would be amazed at what they saw online, there would be another person who would say, oh, it's a deep fake. Someone made it up on their computer. Seeing is not always believing. And sometimes we have to know things and experience them. And one of the reasons I love having a lot of people here in church is because when you all sing, our acoustics really work and shine. And I can feel God in those moments. It's not because of my singing. But I thank our choir, and I thank all of you. Because one of the ways we know God is through other people. Remember, Scripture tells us that we are the hands and feet of God doing work in the world. Each and every one of us is called to be a disciple. Just like Jesus spoke to those women who nobody knew, Jesus speaks to us, to every person here. You matter. Think about that. Yeah, that may be weird. But there's a lot of other weird stuff going on in the world. And that doesn't even have to do with the political situation. God loves us. God cares about us. And my hope is that today, as you walk outside and enjoy the beautiful weather and imagine the warmth that spring is coming, that you will feel that you are being bathed in God's love and that you want to share that love with others. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the resurrection. We thank you for the gift of the children who are here today, and also for the adults. We thank you for all of the faithful throughout the world who are celebrating your resurrection. Amen.